Our text for this morning is found in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Now in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some for honorable use, some for dishonorable. Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from what is dishonorable, he will be a vessel for honorable use, set apart as holy, useful to the master of the house, ready for every good work. This is the word of the Lord. Almighty God, as we look to your word this morning, we ask that you would open our eyes and our minds to the truths that would most impact us in our quest to be like Christ. Amen. 2 Timothy 20 speaks of everyday household items, some of which are made of gold and silver, others of wood and clay, some honorable and some dishonorable. It makes it sound as though there are some porcelain vessels, cups that you drink from, and some porcelain vessels that you sit on, some honorable and some dishonorable. Yet the terms honorable and dishonorable are also, and I think probably better translated as special and ordinary. They refer to items that you have in your house, items like these. Ordinary items like a styrofoam plate. You use this for things which are edible, hopefully, and I guess depending on whether the husband cooks or the wife cooks. And when you're done with them, you throw them away. And then when you have company there and you have hors d'oeuvres and you have a little plate like this, a little fancier. But when you're done with them, you throw them away. And a bigger meal might have a big plate like this or three or four of them stacked together so that it doesn't end up in your lap. And when you're done with them, you throw them away. When you have your grandkids over, you pull out the veggie tails. And if they drop them, they don't break. On some special occasions, you bring out a nice glass plate that invites you to play with your food. Put a mustache on him, or a beard, or please, hair. Give him some hair. In our house, numerous times during the year, we bring out the red plate. It is the "you are special" plate. You get this plate on your birthday. You get it perhaps on your anniversary. You get it when you are special. It is an honorable vessel. That's kind of what... Nope, no more under there. That's kind of what the scripture is talking about when it talks about ordinary and special vessels. The Message renders this verse, "In a well-furnished kitchen, there are not only crystal goblets and silver platters, but waste cans and compost buckets. Some containers useful to serve fine meals, others to take out the garbage." Paul, in these two verses, is not suggesting that in the church we should recognize that some of God's people are special and others aren't. Some of us are to serve fine meals and others are only worthy of taking out the garbage. Rather, Paul is challenging us that all of us should strive to be honorable servants of God. We use the word honorable because, as the Pixar movie The Incredibles states so well, If everyone is special, then no one is special. No, not everyone is special, but everyone is important. Not everyone is special, but everyone is significant. Not everyone is special, but everyone can be honorable. Let me say that again. Not everyone can be special, but everyone can be honorable. And it is honorable students or servants which God uses. You don't have to be special to be used of God. You have to be honorable. Our text tells us how we can be honorable servants in the kingdom of God. There are three key concepts here about the making of an honorable servant. When we come back to this in a couple of weeks, we're going to, in the next text, see three or four keys to maintaining honor as a servant of God. And then the week after that, we will look at the ministry of an honorable servant of God. But at the very beginning is this instruction on how to become an honorable servant of God. But before we get to those concepts, I want to set the table, so to speak. Paul is using an illustration drawn from everyday objects and which can better be understood or can be understood by anyone reading this letter. Every house has special dishes, everyday dishes. In ages past, we had silverware and we had flatware. There was generally a special drawer for the silverware. Paul wants to bring our attention to the better utensils with the idea that we would want to be like the better vessels, the honorable ones, as he calls them. He is not saying that some of the vessels belong in the house and others don't belong. Rather, Paul is goading Timothy and us to strive to be honorable vessels, to be individuals whom God would bring out for special occasions. Unfortunately, we often think that we have no real choice in what type of vessel we are. We have bifurcated the Christian life into classes. Sonia Becker, Eric and Lydia Sears, they're in one class. They're missionaries. Pastor Steve, a little step below the missionaries, but still in a special class. The elder board, a third class. And then there's the rest of you, everyday blokes. You dishonorable vessels. But that does not do justice to Scripture. We don't really want to call ourselves dishonorable, but we're ordinary. And regardless of the bifurcation of Christian life into classes, I am ordinary. Anything but special. Rather, Paul is seeking, what he is seeking to do in these verses is to raise our sights, to raise our aspirations in order that all of us would seek to become honorable servants of God. That in whatever our occupation or our retirement, God would use us to the furtherance of his kingdom. That is what Paul wants to communicate at the start. You, I, none of us are stuck as ordinary vessels. We are not just ordinary. We can be honorable. And the first key to that quest is to cleanse ourselves from what is dishonorable. Frankly, I don't like the way the ESV has translated this verse. I actually have the capability of translating from Greek into English. Nobody would ever pay me to do that. I've known people who can come to the pulpit with a Greek text and read it in English. That's not me. I'm far more ordinary than that. But I do have the ability to study and to look at the various translations, and know only about 10% of translators have chosen to use the word dishonorable in verse 21. In my opinion, other translators make the thought of this verse far more clear. The New Living Translation says this: if you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. The Message, where we read verse 20 a moment ago, the Message says, become the kind of container God can use to become vessels of honor. Let me reread that. Become the kind of container God can use to present any and every kind of gift to His guests for their blessing. Become the kind of person that God can use in any situation to present to anyone He chooses His gifts for their blessing. The challenge is clear. Paul is moving us to become vessels of honor, and that begins with cleansing. It is only about once a month that our family pulls out the You Are Special plate, and we store this in a cabinet inside a glass container. It's a desk type thing, and it's up there on a, you know, so you can see it when you come in. And I didn't really grow up in a place where cleanliness was next to godliness. There was cleanliness was occasional. So when I set the table on it with a You Are Special plate, I go to the cabinet, I pull the plate out, and I put it on the table. Only problem is that it sits there for a month collecting dead skin. Stuff like that. And invariably, my loving wife comes by and she washes the plate because she understands that cleanliness is next to godliness. Even a special plate needs cleaning. If we are going to be honorable vessels, we must be cleansed. It's evident that some kind of self-purification is an indispensable condition of being an honorable servant of God. But what does that entail? Within the greater context of this passage, we have a strong indication of what Paul is referencing. In verse 19, Paul says that those who name the name of the Lord depart from iniquity. In verse 22, immediately after this text, Paul says, flee youthful passions. Some suggest that coming on the heels of his statement about Hymenaeus and Philetus, the purging or cleansing refers to both purity of doctrine and purity of life. In that sense, there are two types of cleansing in the Scripture. There is the cleansing done by Christ upon the cross for our sins. In response to that, there is also the cleansing of our lives as we strive towards purity. So we recognize that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But at the same time, that calls us to live a life of purity. The gift which we saw last week, the gift of security in Christ, coupled with the goal of departing from iniquity. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sin, making us righteous in the eyes of God, but at the same time, we have been called to live righteous lives. And this is the cleansing which Paul refers to here. If we want to be honorable servants of God, we must take the initiative to purify ourselves, to cleanse ourselves, to not put ourselves in situations which lend themselves to and encourage ungodly behavior. This is the first step in the making of an honorable vessel. The second key to being an honorable servant is to be set apart. We have a special plate at our house that I've showed you, that red plate that says you are special, kept in its cabinet. For my parents, it was actual silverware and china that was set apart. And the word translated here in verse 21, it's translated as set apart, is the word that most often is translated as sanctified. Scripture tells us that there are three different types of sanctification. There is positional sanctification, progressive sanctification, and perfect sanctification. Two of them have little to do with us and everything to do with Christ. When we come to faith in Christ, we are sanctified. We are made holy. We are set apart as a holy nation. And that is done because of the work of Christ. That's the first, positional sanctification. Our position before God is one as individuals who have been set apart because of our faith in Christ. The third type of sanctification, perfect sanctification, also depends solely upon Christ. And it happens when Christ returns or upon our death. For when we see Him, we become like Him. We become perfectly holy. It is perfect sanctification. Positional sanctification is foundational, with progressive sanctification building on or flowing from positional sanctification and looking forward to perfect sanctification. Perfect sanctification is simply the final realization of positional sanctification. And the prospect of perfect sanctification motivates us toward progressive sanctification. So positional sanctification emphasizes God's work, and progressive sanctification emphasizes our work of obedience in concert with God's grace. Honorable servants are set apart by the work of God and also by the choices of our lives. So Paul says in Philippians, "Therefore, my beloved, work out your salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure." Progressive sanctification is the process whereby we daily become more and more like Jesus Christ, where we put aside sin and endeavor to live according to the grace of God given to us in Christ. It is the daily walking of our faith. We have been set apart to God, and now we must live accordingly, growing and maturing in Him. We are set apart as holy and thus become honorable servants of the kingdom. Having cleansed ourselves and choosing a life set apart for God, we then become useful to the Master. This is the third key to being an honorable servant. For honorable servants are useful to the Master. Now, the reality is that God can use anyone He wishes to use. And He has been known to use people who really don't seem prime examples of choice servants. He uses crazy fishermen. He uses me. He uses you. Scripture gives us numerous examples of God using ungodly people to accomplish His will. Nebuchadnezzar is called God's servant. The Persian king Cyrus is called his shepherd. Neither of these men were part of the people of God, yet God used them because God can use anyone. He can use you even in the midst of a lifestyle of sin. But God prefers to use those who are cleansed and set apart. And given the option, I believe He will always choose those who are honorable vessels over those who embrace dishonor. Being useful to the master involves not merely a set apart life, but a life which is prepared. We have yet to leave the chapter in 2 Timothy where Paul encouraged us to be diligent to present ourselves to God as one approved, to be prepared, to be ready for whatever work God has intended for us. When I was playing soccer in college, I played in the Midwest, and our games stretched into November. And in the Chicago area in November, there are known to be days that are really cold. In one game, I was sitting on the bench. I spent a lot of time sitting on the bench. I started a couple of years, but 4 years of college, you spend a lot of time sitting on the bench unless you're an exceptional athlete. And I was an ordinary athlete. Or a dishonorable athlete, I guess you could say from this text. So I was sitting on the bench on a freezing cold day. I've got my sweats on and I'm sitting here trying to keep warm, as are the other guys sitting next to me. And we're watching and just thinking, man, I wish I could take my sweats off and go out there and freeze some more. I mean, and run around. I was just sitting there wishing I could be in the field. For even though it was cold, I knew that if I was out there in my shorts, and I played back in the time when the shorts were short, embarrassingly short, I knew that if I was out there in those little skimpy shorts and a short sleeve shirt, I'd be running. And by virtue of running, I would warm up. I just sat there shivering. Not once was I ready to enter the game. And afterwards, a coach came to me and he said, you know, Steve, I was going to put you in. But I looked over there and you were so cold. You were so unprepared. I just couldn't put you in the game. He left me there, out of the game, useless. God, your God, is looking for honorable servants who are useful to Him because they are always ready to enter the game. In chapter 4 of 2 Timothy, Paul is going to challenge us to be ready in season and out of season to proclaim God's word. When you feel like it, when you don't feel like it, to always be ready. Peter says it this way in 1 Peter 3:15. Always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Doing it with gentleness and respect. Honorable servants are ready. They are useful to the master. And Paul wants us to be honorable servants. God wants us to be honorable servants. And now here's the thing. Often as I prepare messages, I get to the end and I I put at the top of my notes, yeah, but so what? I've talked about some things which probably rightly belonged in a lecture classroom. Really, positional sanctification and progressive sanctification, perfect sanctification. That's just all theological mumble jumble. What matters is what you're going to do when you walk out of here. You read this passage and you say, how does it apply to me? Yeah, but so what? The scripture seems to imply I should be an honorable servant, but that's a really, really high standard. Cleansing and sanctification and preparedness. We're going to fail. Even the special plates get dirty. They need to be washed. They need to be maintained. Before we use it, we wash it. After we use it, we wash it. And before we use it again, we wash it. And sometimes we don't use it at all. We forget. We use an everyday plate. We use something else to get the job done. And that's the way it is with God. God understands when He calls you to be an honorable vessel. He understands that you are going to have times when you mess up. Times when you get dirt all over yourself. When you're ashamed because, well, you're a dishonorable vessel. But God doesn't expect you to be perfect. He expects you to be honorable. Your perfection won't come until glory. He is looking for progress. He is looking for a willingness and a determination to be honorable servants in the kingdom. And this is the ultimate impact of this passage. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and silver, but also of wood and clay, some honorable and some dishonorable. If you cleanse yourself from what is dishonorable, you will be used as an honorable vessel, set apart as holy, useful to the master, ready for good deeds. It's a choice you make. It's a choice you make every day. It's a choice you make as you walk out of here today. What type of vessel will you be? Will you choose to be an honorable servant of Jesus Christ? It is His invitation, for He's told you how to do it. Cleanse yourself. Be set apart. Be ready. And you will be an honorable vessel. Let us pray. Father, I ask that You would help us, not just on Sundays, but every day of the week, to choose to be the type of honorable vessel which You will use for Your glory. Amen.